Blog Talk Radio.
Because
increase. Increase. Increase, increase. Just touch two people, say increase. Increase, touch somebody, say increase, increase, increase. Increase.
Network, God's Great Love for Us, with Pastor Vanessa Carver and Lester Carver. And tonight, we're going to be discussing in an open forum what it means to live within God's 24-hour compartments of His grace and mercy. And the reason we're going to be discussing this tonight in an open forum is so that we can see how we each learn to live within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy. We can discuss when we used to not live in 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy and what that looked like. And we can discuss what some of the benefits of having learned to live within God's 24-hour compartments of grace and mercy looks like, so that others can be encouraged to trust God, to stand on God's word, to focus on the day that we've been given without worrying about the day that we can't change that happened yesterday, or the day that might not even come if Jesus Christ returns tomorrow, but to learn to focus on today so that we can be at peace and we can learn to trust God the way He wants us to trust Him. See, when you trust God and you trust His word, today is enough. Today, being in God's presence is enough. So I just want to invite everyone on the line, anybody who's called in, I'm letting you know that your phone is, your mic is live. You are able to comment. You are encouraged to comment. We are looking for an open sharing of ideas and discussion centered around the scripture, so that we can share knowledge with one another about how to learn to live within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, He speaks about us praying for our daily bread, being focused on today's provision. So I just want to invite Pastor Carver to speak on what her thoughts are regarding living within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy, and then I'd like to invite someone else to speak right after.
Good evening, everyone. This is a good topic. It's a necessary topic because one word that caught my attention was the word focus, and to focus on the peace of God, the trusting God, believing God in that 24-hour compartment, whatever that looks like for you, and it's different for all of us. I want to define just briefly the word focus. It's a point of concentration, and it's directed in attention and emphasis on something. a point of concentration. So if we think about the things that we think about on a daily basis, we go to bed with certain things, we wake up with certain things, but I think it's important to focus on the peace of God and also gratitude, which I will be talking about later, in those 24 hours. At the same time, there's a lot of competitiveness when it comes to what we focus on. And technology is one of those things that keeps the mind going. It doesn't slow down. We're distracted by a lot of things because our world is fast changing and technology is aiding in that process. So you have to intentionally decide to focus on the goodness of God or whatever God is leading you to be. Thankfulness, His trust, and everything that we're going to talk about tonight. But the focus is, once again, has to do with our level of concentration. I'm going to read a point of concentration, directed attention. What's getting your attention? What are you focusing on? What is your point of concentration? Or maybe there's a lack of concentration. And what is being emphasized in your life in a 24-hour period?
I would like to invite anyone else who happens to be on the line tonight to speak. But before you do, I'm going to read a portion of scripture that I think is going to bless you and allow you to ponder what the word has to say about something. So look at what it says here in Jude. Jude 1, it's the only chapter, 24 and 25. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." And I wanted to read that because I want you to know that God is able to keep you from falling, that God is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And to understand that God has a plan for your life, you just have to believe and trust that that plan is good. So who do we have on the line who's going to be brave and comment about what your thoughts are about learning to live within God's 24-hour compartment of God's grace and mercy? Anyone? And before you speak, I'm going to go ahead and define grace and mercy because many people just don't understand the difference between the two. So God's grace is really two things. God's grace is his unmerited favor. It's all the good things that we get from God that we don't deserve. And God's grace is also his enabling power that enables us to do through the Holy Spirit anything he asks us to do. God's mercy, on the other hand, it is the punishment that we do not receive from God for things that we deserve to be punished for, but God gives us mercy so that we can boldly stand before his throne, receive that mercy, and get back to work. So we have a brave soul on the line. Introduce yourself and say what you'd like to say. Or we can just keep going. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to say your name. You can comment and just say what God has on your mind. Because, see, one of the ideas behind this show, God's Great Love for Us, is that we want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to flow in such a way that it's speaking through the people of God. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, we're ready to hear.
Praise God. This is Sister Kathy. The Word of God tells us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not upon thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Amen. Him, he shall direct thy path. When you get off course, or to keep from getting off course, disobey those words.
Amen.
Don't lean on your understanding. You know, everybody has their own thoughts. I understand that. You have your own opinion. But if you want to walk upright and perfect in the Lord, obey him. It's just that simple.
Amen.
The older I get in the Lord and the more I grow in him, I find out how true that scripture is. When I try to stop, when I try not to figure it out for myself, my focus is off. I look to the Lord. Because the word says that a wise man guards his thoughts. And the Lord tells you he's a lamp unto thy feet. Well, if he's going to do all that for me and my focus is on him, guess what? I'm going to always be in the righteousness of God. Because he's called us to be his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. So therefore, we have to walk it, talk it, and live it. We can't compromise. It's something we have to do daily, even in our conversation. Regardless of how other people talk or how they conduct themselves, make sure you're the light because God has called us to be his light. God bless you.
God bless you. You're absolutely right. And, you know, what she was saying from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Literally, it means to reject your own understanding. Reject what it looks like. Reject what it feels like. Reject what it sounds like. And then acknowledge God in all your ways and watch him direct your paths because he promises that he will. But if we are concerned about things that happened yesterday that we can't change, and then we're fretting about what might happen tomorrow, knowing that God, only God knows what tomorrow holds. But if you trust God and you know that just like God is in today's 24 hours of grace and mercy, then you know that if tomorrow comes, if Jesus Christ doesn't come first, then God's going to be in tomorrow with you also. Right? That's all you need to know about tomorrow. So trusting God is really the point. And what Sister Kathy had to say is absolutely so, is trusting in God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. It's an act of loving God, right? So remember where it says that perfect love casts out fear, right? Well, if we allow ourselves to perfect our love walk toward God by trusting him more, serving him more, pleasing him more, obeying him more, then what we're going to do is we're going to see the fear go away. We're going to see the angst about things that happened yesterday disappear because we can't change them. And we're just going to receive God's mercy for that and his grace. And the things that might happen tomorrow, we're going to give to God to show God how much we trust him. Is there anyone else who would like to comment? Because that comment was excellent. And anything that focuses on the word, if all you wanted to do was read a scripture that makes you think of this, I'm going to share with you a scripture that I have that really blesses me in regard to this is in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God finishes what he starts. And we have to be confident of this, knowing that the work that he started within us, the good work that he started within us, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until Jesus Christ returns. And see, we have to remember, God is the one who gave us the desire to come to him in the first place, right? So that's where our confidence comes from, not our own abilities, but our confidence comes from our faith in God to do what he promised and he said in his word. Pastor Carver, what do you have to say about this?
We can't leave the word out in any of this. And I thankful for Minister Kathy Horton for mentioning that about trusting God. Because as me and my husband were speaking about this and preparing, we were saying there's so many different offshoots and twigs to this that we want to mention. And that is a really good one because and almost minute by minute, hour by hour, we have to trust the Lord in a place in the spirit of obedience, trusting his word. He always brings his words up to come against those things. We have to take every thought captive, which is one of the scriptures I think of, and subject it to the obedience of Christ. It's important that we are aware of what we're thinking about. It's important that we begin to come against aggressively if need be, and take every thought captive. Don't allow certain thought patterns to traffic in and out of your thought patterns. Be aware of if it's worry or doubt or something distracting or negative that's not fruitful, or, you know, in Philippians it tells us the things to think on. Think on these things, which I will also mention later. These are just to give us something to do, but definitely, as the woman of God said, the word of God is what you do. You be obedient. Know the word of God so you can know based on that 24 hours what your issue is. A big one for me is to stay thankful. And I will mention that too. And there are many scriptures that I have memorized. In all things, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That's a good one. In everything, give thanks. If I'm having a hard day, for whatever reason, I have to say, okay, God, thank you for this day. And whatever I'm going through, help me to regulate my mind and renew my mind to your word. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. The Psalms is full of scriptures about thankfulness and gratitude. Necessarily like to use the word gratitude because that's overused as it pertains to culture and our society. And a lot of times that can lead into other types of area of thought that is new agey. That's just my issue. But I always say, what does the word say about gratitude? What does the word say about being thankful? So thankfulness and to thankful to the Lord is one of the areas that I have to find myself focusing on when it comes to those 24-hour compartments.
Amen. Well, is there anyone else who'd like to comment? I'll tell you, yeah, anyone? One of the things that I know is a concern is that if anyone, many people, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of energy. They are able to do so many things. But one of the reasons why people tend to fail in life is that they fail to focus. And God has given us the ability to focus by telling us that we shouldn't be worried about tomorrow because we can't change tomorrow. We shouldn't be worried about because, you know, we don't have to worry about tomorrow because he's there. We don't have to worry about yesterday because we can't change it. He is telling us to focus on today because we need to see what God is doing. And once again, he wants us to succeed. So he's given us the ability to focus by giving us many examples in the word where things happen in the day. He is literally describing events that happen within 24-hour compartments of time often. And he's showing how his people learn to trust him as he gives them information. Look at this particular verse here related to this that really strengthens me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, right? And see, this is one of the things that we are oftentimes overlooking is it's God's job to keep us from evil. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, right? is to keep me from temptation, right? And the Lord's faithfulness is what you are trusting in because he's the one who, it says he shall establish you, not he might establish you, not he wants to establish you. He shall establish you and he shall keep you from evil. And so you have to stand on that promise in God's word. And see, it's only the promises of the word of God that allow us to stand in confidence because God said he magnified his word above his name. And what that means is he set a limit for himself. He set a limit for himself in saying, I cannot transgress against my own word. I am not going to go past my word. And when he says he's faithful, when he says he's going to establish us, when he says he's going to keep us from evil, we have to stand on that promise. And then one of the ways that we glorify God is by trusting in God and obeying God. I think I used this example once was was Moses. When the people were in the wilderness and they were thirsty and they were complaining to Moses that he brought them out there to die and all this other stuff. And God said to Moses, speak to the rock and I will bring forth water from the rock. And Moses was so frustrated and vexed with the people that instead of obeying God and simply speaking to the rock and so that water could come forth, he took his staff and he struck the rock twice. And water came forth, but it looked like Moses had caused the water to come forth. And in doing that, Moses had stolen God's glory. And God told Moses, hey, you did this thing by not doing what I told you to do, which was to speak to the rock, and you struck the rock twice. And even though the people got the water, your blessing is not going to be received. You're not going to go into the promised land after leading all these people out of bondage. You're not going to get to go into the promised land yourself. A 40-year assignment. That's amazing. That's unfortunate. That's sad, right? But how many of us are going through life doing things out of our own strength, leaning to our own understanding, pleasing people and serving money, and losing our peace, losing our prosperity, losing our health, losing our reward because we just don't trust God, right? And that is a very unfortunate position to be in because, see, Jesus Christ died so that we can live a more than abundant life. See, Jesus Christ came and he was beat multiple times for our physical wholeness, and then he was nailed to a cross, crucified, and laid in a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights for spiritual restoration. His blood paid for all of our sin. And when God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, after that he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I so that we could be restored, so that we could have the power to do what he's given us to do, and we could really trust him and get glory for him. And so God has given us the power to do everything he's asked us to do, but he needs us to be intentional about pleasing him, intentional about serving him, intentional about trusting him, and intentional about obeying him, because our reward is at stake. See, whatever we do that does not have love at the center of it, love for God first, love for ourselves next, and love for others, whatever we do without love is a waste. It is of no profit to us. So we have to get to the point where we understand that trusting God is essential, because you can't say you trust God if you are trying to do it all yourself, if you're trying to be God yourself, if you're trying to figure it all out yourself, because what you're doing is you're stealing your health, you're stealing your peace, you're stealing God's glory, and whatever you're doing is of no benefit to you. You might be doing a lot of good, too, for others. See, when Moses struck the rock, those people got water, but Moses lost his reward. He didn't get to go into the promised land. Even you see God's mercy there, because God did let him look into the promised land, but he didn't get to go into the promised land. God wants you to walk into your reward. He wants you to walk into your favor because, see, when you're blessed, God gets glorified. When you glorify God, God glorifies you. And we need to see that it's God's desire to bless us. I am hoping that someone comes on tonight and shares how God has blessed you with the opportunity to trust him. Anyone? Learning how to live and walk into God's 24 hours of grace and mercy is what this is about. So, Pastor Carver, what are your thoughts?
I also want to mention that to live purposefully, intentionally, you have to control your thoughts. And I also mentioned about being thankfulness, and then Sister Kathy Horton mentioned about trust. And then Bishop Carver is mentioning about how we love, how we pour out our perspective. She also mentioned about the level of obedience, but I also want to talk about our thought life a little bit. I mentioned it earlier. Philippians 4 talks about things that we should be thinking about. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, yes, if there is anything worthy of praise, we think on these things. In Psalms 19 and 14, it says, let the words of my mouth, these are the words of David, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So be aware of what's going on in your thought processes, and it'll help you to be obedient. It'll help you to trust God. It'll help you to focus on these things that'll be productive. Proverbs 16 and Proverbs 16 and 3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So as we sit around thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to plan our ways, let's reevaluate and begin to intentionally commit our works unto the Lord. And he'll tell us what that looks like on a daily basis. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. We get so distracted with so many things. The purposes and will of God is us intentionally deciding to set our minds on things that are above. His will, his purposes, his role in our life, his role, what he wants us to do, how we serve, and so on. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The sober-minded piece is key. It helps you focus. It's not that you're too serious or anything. It just means don't be so easily distracted. Be aware of conversations that you engage in or that you're listening to. Put a guard over your tongue. Put a guard over your eyes and over your ears. What types of things are you meditating on? Where's your imagination? All these things. And you know what? It's not okay to be lackadaisical about those types of things. Eventually, these are just how we decide to live our life. What we watch, what we listen to, who we talk to, who we listen to. But without being religious and still connecting with the Lord, be aware of your thought life. Be aware, learn what that looks like for you on your job. If you have a job where you use your brain, like that's 95 to 100% of your productivity is brain work, which means it's rigorous. So take rest, rest your brain as well. Rest your thoughts. Know what that looks like for you in 24-hour compartment. Include God in all that you do. That's the main thing that I think I would say, if I didn't say anything else for the rest of this program, is, you know, include God in all you do. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, which we mentioned earlier. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. 24 hours, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path.
Amen. And I'll tell you that taking every thought captive is a part of learning to renew your mind, because what happens is the devil will throw fiery darts at you that will enter your consciousness. But just because they enter your consciousness, that does not mean that they have to come out of your mouth. And that's where we are renewing our mind. That's where it's important to be praying, to pray with your understanding, to pray in the spirit. It's also important to be studying God's word, because now you're meditating on the word of God. It's also important to fellowship with like-minded believers, because now you're associating with people who are going to also be speaking the word and speaking positive things and edifying you and exhorting you and comforting you and actually reproving you when you need to be reproved and admonishing you and warning you to not go in the wrong direction, not go away from God, but to trust God and to obey God and to serve God and to please God. And see, when we're doing that, what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves for those situations in life that are going to test us, those situations that are going to cause us to remember that we are, it's going to remember, cause us to remember what we've been delivered from. And see, when your natural five senses, inclinations are put to the test and you have the chance to say, no, I am not going to strike this person. You say, no, I am not going to enter this argument. No, I am not going to rise up in pride. No, I'm not going to take vengeance in my own hands. When you say, no, I'm not going to allow someone to cause me to disobey God, when God says, hey, if someone asks you to go 1 mile with them unjustly, go 2 miles with them, right? See, you can't abuse someone who is prepared to suffer for God in order to get God glory. And see, that was part of Moses' problem, is he was so vexed by the people being so incredibly unreasonable and impatient, and he was entrusted with leading these people. And so God told him to just speak to the rock, because not only did God want to get water from the for the people, God wanted to get glory and to show the people how powerful he was and that he could be trusted by the people, right? Instead, Moses strikes the rock. And that's what happens when we take things into our own hands. When we are operating out of our own strength, we are getting in the way of God and we're blocking his glory from being demonstrated and evidenced in the world. And the whole point behind God performing miracles, signs, and wonders through those of us who believe in the earth is to win others to the kingdom, right? But they're not going to be won if all they hear and see is us striking the rock. I pray there's someone on the line who wants to speak to how God is showing you how to live within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy, because I'll tell you, it's one of those things that teaches us that we don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan to know that God's going to be in what I'm doing 15 years from now if the Lord does not return first. So do we have a person of God who's ready to speak? I know that this is a lot of pressure. Don't feel pressured at all. And be blessed. I'm going to share a scripture with you that I think is really going to bless you, because I know it blesses me. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3-5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." See, we are kept by the power of God through faith. And see, that's one of the things. It says the just shall live by faith. And that faith is one of the ways that we trust God, is learning how to live right within the 24-hour compartment of God's grace and mercy right now. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive all of God's favor that I don't deserve. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive all of God's enabling power to do all that God asked me to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive the mercy that I need, that keeps me from punishment I deserve, so that I can get back to work for God and stop using my imperfections as excuses for not doing the work that God has given me to do. That's why we come boldly before the throne of God to receive mercy to help in time of need, so that we don't start excusing ourselves from serving God by serving others by saying, oh, I'm not good enough. God said, look, the blood of my son Jesus Christ made you good enough, and you need to believe and stop playing games with my power that I place within you, because God's not in the business of wasting power. God didn't send his son Jesus Christ to die for nothing so that you can sit back and play and clap your hands and stomp your feet and go home. God has work for you to do, and he's not going to let your imperfections be your excuse for why you didn't do anything, right? He's going to call that unbelief. And that's why it says in Hebrews, Lord, deliver me from my wicked heart of unbelief. You know, it's, I think Pastor Carver said this earlier. She was saying how we have to be aware of what's in our heart. The things that we dwell on, we have to think on things that are good, things that are virtuous, things that are pure, things that are of good report. And when we are doing that, what we're doing is we're preparing our mind to move in the direction that God would have us to move in, because where we go without renewing our mind to the word is we automatically go to the negative. See, human nature is to instantly attract itself to the negative. If I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11 to you, right? What you would do is you would focus on the fact that I went past 9 and 10 straight to 11, and you would say, oh, he doesn't know how to count. But what about me saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? I said that perfectly. But when I got to 9 and I missed 9, that's what human nature is going to focus on, right? And God is saying, you know what? I don't need you to focus on the fact that you skipped 9 and you skipped 10. Keep counting, because I need you to go to 1,000. And what you missed, you don't have to go back and try to pick up. That was yesterday. You can't change that. But what you can do is focus on being more intentional about getting it right now. Pastor Kyra?
All these things that we're talking about, everyone, is building our relationship with the Lord as we live our practical life. And it can really be fruitful, and it's not a task. It's our relational obligation to him so that we can serve better and love better. The thing that I think about, too, is when it comes to 24-hour compartments is learning to be intimate with God in those each day. There are certain things me and my husband do that is intimate, that creates our bond and our relationship. And it's beyond physical. It's spending time together, eating together, talking about our days together, sharing the word sometimes together, sharing good and bad things about our days sometimes. And that builds intimacy, and that creates a bond. And giving people, like, I came home from work. Now this is my place of quiet. This is my place of peace. This is the place where I can relax, right? This is my place where I can laugh as loud as I want, talk as much as I want, or not talk at all and not be looked at a certain way, and eat or whatever, right? That's in the natural. Spiritually, as we look at our daily walk, how do we make time for God? Even on my job, I remember, especially because it can be extremely stressful. And after a point, I'm on autopilot. So I know what to say, what to do. And it's just like without thinking through anything. And when I get to that place, that wears me out quicker. It wears me out. But if I take that time in between working heartily unto the Lord and how I serve the public, and because I don't look at it as just a job, it is a level of service in everything that I do. And my husband's the same way. No, we're not perfect on our jobs, but I tell you what, our love walk gets tested, all kinds of things. All those characters and all those manifestations of the spirit get tested on our jobs. But I know that God is calling for intimacy, and always, he always wants to be an intricate part of our life. even in a practical sense, how we do our job, how we parent, how we, you know, interact with our spouses and the community, our children, or whatever the case may be with people horizontally, he is concerned about that. So a lot of times he'll talk to me about things that have nothing to do with my job, but they have something to do with what I'm studying in his word. He'll give me like nuggets of wisdom, not about my job, but just about my mind is ministry is a vocation. It's not a career. It's a vocation that has to do with my walk of life. He is in a part of that. I don't compartmentalize. Intimacy in your everyday life is what God is calling for. Learn what that looks like for you. For you, it's different than what it looks like for me. I literally will sit because I work from home. I will sit and do my job, and then on another side of my office, I have books that I'm studying or the word, and I'll jot down things in my journal because God is constantly talking to me. And I'm learning to respond to him and do my job well. So learn what that looks like, intimacy looks like for you in 24-hour compartments. You know, a lot of times he is giving you instruction and nuggets on how to do your job in the natural, but he's also talking to you about his heart, and he's sharing with you. So be open to do the same with him as well. You'll find that your day will go a lot better.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Carver. Anyone else?
Thank you, Lord, Bishop and Pastor. As I was listening, the Lord was reminding me, okay, that
praise
once
the
you know
Horton.
The truth. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Sister Kathy.
Yes.
Once you know the truth, from that moment, you're responsible for obeying it.
Amen.
Just like you were saying,
amen.
I can't go back and say 1 + 1 = 3. So one plus, now that I know that 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That hasn't changed.
Amen.
And neither does God. He doesn't change. So therefore,
amen.
If we obey him and know the word in a 24-hour day, like the pastor was saying, regardless what you do, your job is, you're still obeying God. There's a standard
amen.
He calls us to live by. We can't compromise our standard at home, at play. 24-hour day, we can't compromise.
Amen.
We have to obey. Back to obedience, I know. I'm going back to obedience. And that's what we have
amen.
To do. It's obedience, and that's where our blessing comes. Like you were saying, Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck the rock.
Right.
And then once we, and when we hear his, we pray about things, but do we wait to hear what he has to say?
Mm-hmm.
What does he say?
Mm-hmm.
We got to wait for an answer. A lot of times we pray and we want God to agree with us. No. That's not the way it goes. So therefore, to be in his will 24 hours, once you know the truth, obey it. And then
amen.
You move on. And you develop a relationship because when you obey his truth and he's speaking to you, you got a relationship going.
Right.
You have open conversation, like you with your wife gave a beautiful example. You got an open conversation. Now you understand, or you get understanding, or you get some help, or you get some encouragement. That's what God does. We didn't invent that. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Just obey his word. Just obey his word. And it gets
amen.
Easier as you go. God bless you.
God bless you. And I'll tell you, Sister Kathy, it is such a blessing to know that God is invested in taking us higher in our relationship
absolutely.
With him by responding to our obedience. And see, as we obey God, our Christian walk is becoming more fruitful. So what we're seeing in our life is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness and self-control, we're seeing those things increase in our life so that all the other stuff diminishes. It becomes less and less. And there is no one who is saved, who is walking with God, who can look back on their life and say they have not been changed if you are doing the word. if you are studying the word, if you're praying, if you're fellowshipping with like-minded believers, if you're fasting, you know, these are things that we do in order to strengthen our walk with God. And as Sister Cassie said earlier, was instead of telling God what it is we want him to do, we simply come boldly before the throne and report for duty and ask him, where would he have us to go? What would he have us to do? Sometimes God wants you to rest. Sometimes God wants you to work. Sometimes God wants you to travel and then work. Sometimes God wants you to work while you're traveling. But whatever God is asking you to do, do that. Be prepared to do whatever he gives you to do. So listen, and so much a part of this, and one of the things that both Pastor Carver and Sister Cathy had to say is listening and communication with God is such a key part of this whole process of learning to live within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and mercy. Look at what it says here in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 and 29. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." See, they hear his voice. "And I know them, and they follow me." See, we're led as we hear the voice of our Lord. And it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And this is Jesus Christ speaking, right? So when we understand that the Good Shepherd is our Master and Lord Jesus Christ, and that we hear his voice, we are led by the Spirit, and we hear the voice of our Lord, and we go where he says to go. That is a part of our peace. That is a part of our obedience. That is a part of learning to live within 24-hour compartments of time, because I'll tell you, when I wake up at the beginning of the day, I have a list of things that I could do. Then I have a list of things that I should do. Then I have a list of things that I must do. And then after I speak to God, the question is, what will happen that day? And it has to be after I speak to God, because if I lean to my own understanding and I do whatever comes to my mind to do, I'll try to do everything. And there's always something to do. And sometimes God needs you just to be available for him. Sometimes God needs you to just sit at his feet and receive in preparation for what is coming next. And see, that's the thing. We don't know what's coming next. See, that's why we trust God the way we do, because there are three qualities of God that make God God. God is all-knowing. That fancy word for that is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. That is present everywhere. God is present everywhere. And God is omnipotent. That is all-powerful. So because God is all-knowing, he knows, he's the only one who knows the past, present, and future. God is all-powerful. He's the only one who's all-powerful. And God is present everywhere. He's the only one who's present everywhere. Because of those things, that's why it doesn't make sense to trust anybody other than God, because, see, God knows the future. God says that the plan he has for us is good. Now the question is, do we trust God's plan? Do we trust what God says he has in mind for us? God says that he has things planned for us that we couldn't even imagine. And if you know that God has prepared something that great for you, then why would you settle for anything less, right? See, it's knowledge and confidence in God's word that causes us to obey, but it's the devil's job to introduce doubt, worry, and fear so that our resolve diminishes, our level of enthusiasm is decreased, because we're not convinced, because we haven't studied the word enough to know how consistent God is. to know that God is not going to fail, to know that God is going to prevail, to know that all of God's promises to us are yes and amen, and we're to walk into those promises boldly, confidently, trusting in God, not wavering. And those who do waver, those who do second guess God, they are not getting glory for God. You're not obeying God when you do that. You're leaning to your own understanding and then looking for a backup plan just in case God doesn't show up. So, Pastor Carver, what are your thoughts about this?
I believe that you said leaning to our own understanding. You have to be open to what God is saying to you at the time, and everything is relevant in that 24 hours. I was just thinking about how when God brings us, when we get focused on something throughout the day, whether it's our job or we have an assignment or I got to clean the house or wherever, whatever it is, if you compartmentalize and you don't include him or learn how to just how God is not outside, he's inside of everything you do, what you'll find is that it's easy to trivialize his word. It's like Minister Kathy said about obedience and how that creates relational ties and that creates intimacy. I also believe, too, that the intimacy will lead to how we see other people. Our intimacy with God, we're the light, right? We're the salt and the light. And in our everyday compartments, especially when we deal with the public, or we're always going to deal with people, even if it's just our coworkers doing our jobs or whatever, or in ministry, of course, there is interaction. And I think that a lot of times when we say, okay, Lord, outside of me and you, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I pray for somebody today? Open up the eyes of my understanding about what's going on in the world that I won't obsess over and be fearful about, but begin to pray and intercede in this area. Encourage, pray about peace. There's something horrible that happened today. And I never want to get to the place where I become conditioned and hard to school shootings. There was another school shooting today in Nashville. I got angry at first, but God began to get my attention and he said, you need to be praying for the families. Have their peace be in your spirit that you begin to pray. I was reading articles about the shooter. She was a woman, young woman, 28 years old, that went out and did this. It makes no sense. And it goes back to that scripture in Philippians about things to think on, right? Whatever is honorable, whatever is virtuous. To think about the details and the details of that shooting is not giving me peace. It's making me angry. So I said, okay, Lord. But I also want to think about the souls. I want to think about the people. I want to think about what the Lord is telling me to pray about and to intercede over that whole region. There's a couple of things that happened in Nashville today too. And so that builds my intimacy with God, helps me build intimacy and bonds with the people in my life, whether I people I serve in my job, ministry, whatever the case may be. I'm not just thinking me and God and that's all. It trains you and disciplines you to think about other people. And that's so important in 24 hours. People that were here today may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. It's not promised. So we become very mindful and disciplined about our love walk and what it looks like in 24-hour compartments. Whose life did we touch? Who did we bless? The people that I serve on my job, I've had people bless me. And it's powerful, that interaction. They literally will say, God bless you. I said, I'll take it. You know what I mean? So I am in that point acknowledging God and all that I do by acknowledging them and loving on them or serving them in some kind of kind, being kind. That may be all the kindness that they see or hear that day. Let's just decide to, in that 24 hours, if we not already are doing it, it's like, Lord, how can I serve you by loving and serving on somebody else today in a different way?
That is an awesome word. I'll tell you one of the other reasons it's important to learn to live within 24 hours of God's grace and mercy, because God's grace and mercy is new to us every day because it needs to be. And see, to understand that, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they received manna, and it was new that day. It was only good for that day, too. You see, God's grace and God's mercy, it's not designed to be hoarded and stored so that you don't have to move. As a matter of fact, God used his provision in the wilderness to the children of Israel to cause them to learn how to follow him, to cause them to get up at the beginning of the day and seek him. So if the provision was east, the people of God had to go east. If the people of God woke up and the provision was west, they had to go west. If it was north, they had to go north. They had to go wherever God put the provision. And see, for us, it's the same way. God's grace and mercy is new to us every day to cause us to go to the place God would have us to go that specific day. So look at what it says here in Psalm 23:6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? See, your confidence in God has to be that absolute. And people want to water down God's word and not receive the absolute that's in God's word. See, God's promises are absolute. God's promises are yes and amen, not maybe, not possibly. You don't have a lot of ticket that you can get into heaven someday, maybe. God did not send his son Jesus Christ to die for you to gamble with the possibility that you might get into heaven. You're not going to win a soul with that. With that testimony, if that's your testimony, if that's your witness, if that's your idea of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's absolute. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what your conviction has to be. That's what your heart's mindset has to be. That's Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. And when you are in that place, then you're looking for goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. And when you have that kind of confidence in God, you know what? People are going to want to know what you're doing. They're going to want to know your God, because they're not going to find another God that's all powerful, that's present everywhere, and that knows everything. There's only one. And when they realize that the living God who created the heavens and the earth is your God, and that's why you're so blessed, they want to make your God their God. And when you introduce them to God's son, Jesus Christ, and they make Jesus Christ their master and Lord, then they will also be a child of your God. And that's you doing your job. You are a minister of reconciliation. All of us are ministers of reconciliation. And it's the devil's job to talk you out of who you are in Christ. It's the devil's job to talk you into believing that you are not a minister of reconciliation, that you are not important, essential, and critical to God's plan. God says, I need you. And the devil's job is to convince you that God doesn't need you. And you'll hear people say that stuff over the pulpit, and they're wrong. God needs you because, see, he's getting great glory out of you and you trusting him and then showing other people that God can be trusted by how you trust God. See, people know and they learn that if you get in the way of God's power, that they have to yield. They're going to fail. It doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how coordinated they are. It doesn't matter how much money they have or how much power or influence they have. If they are coming against the power of God in you, they have to submit. You will prevail. They will fail. God will get glory. And then you're going to go on to your next assignment to get God more glory, because you're not going to strike the rock. You're not going to lose control. You're just going to speak to the situation in the name of Jesus Christ and stand on the promise of God and say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your testimony, right? And if you speak against that testimony, then you are disqualifying yourself for the blessings of God. And that's what Jesus Christ came so that we could live a more than abundant life physically, well, first spiritually, then mentally, as we renew our mind to the Word of God, then emotionally, as we control ourselves through operating the Holy Spirit and developing the fruit of the Spirit in our life so that we see love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control manifest in our life. Then we live a more than abundant life physically because we're not all worried and emotionally tore up because we're mentally unstable because we're spiritually diseased. And now we live a more than abundant life, lastly, financially, because we are prepared to walk into the blessings of God so that the dog wags the tail instead of the tail wagging the dog. See, people who serve money, the tail wags the dog. All of their focus is on their money, their stuff, whatever it is they have. That stuff has them. They don't have the stuff. That's the difference. That's the problem. And see, when God blesses you, you are blessed with the provision so that you can do whatever God has given you to do freely without having to worry about that stuff. God tells us that where your treasure is where your heart's going to be, right? So the things that you value, if they're the things of this world, then that's where your heart's going to be. That's what you're always going to be thinking about. So if I have 10 million gold bars in a basement cellar somewhere, my heart and mind is going to be wondering about the security of those bars, the insurance of those bars, whether anybody else knows those bars are down there. Am I missing any of those gold bars, right? Where your treasure is where your heart's going to be. Now, I get up every day and I say, another day, another $10 million. And I say dollars just because people understand that. And for me, I'm simply saying I value a human soul at $10 million. And I believe that every day I win a soul for the kingdom. And that is a part of my eternal reward. And I do that intentionally. I do that by trusting God and obeying God and serving God and pleasing God every day and seeking to impact the world every day in such a way that I should win one soul a day, at least. And that's not a bad goal. That's just me, right? But when your treasure is set in a place where you're trying to do what God has given you to do, then God is going to be blessed. Pastor Carver or Sister Kathy, if there's anything you'd like to add, it would be more than welcome.
God bless you. Things are beautiful. I enjoyed this. And this is what I heard. God's 24-hour grace and mercy. Trust God. Obey God. Renew your mind and let love abide.
Amen.
Those are the things I heard. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. And I'll tell you, God is ready to bless us in such a way. He's not only ready to bless us, he desires to bless us. But we have to want to be blessed. We have to decide that we will no longer settle for less than God's best. And we do that by submitting to the authority of his word and simply saying what God says in his word. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at what it says here in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 27. It says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. See, God the Father sealed the Son of Man, his Son Jesus Christ, so that we could have everlasting life. And we're supposed to be laboring for that meat, for that everlasting life, and understanding that eternal life is ours. And we are the ones who are benefiting from that. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 1:22. It says, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. See, the Holy Spirit within us is a down payment. It's an earnest payment. You know, when you buy a house, you put down earnest money to show that you're serious about purchasing the house and you'll ultimately close on the house and ultimately own the house. But before you do that, you have to put something down. Well, it's saying that the Holy Spirit within us is an earnest. It's a down payment, so to speak. He sealed us with that Spirit. And he's saying that what I am preparing you for is something greater than you could possibly imagine, but here's the down payment on what I am bringing you into. So the blessings we receive here on earth are just a portion of what God has in mind for us. I think another way of looking at it would be similar to how we experience life on earth. It takes 9 months within our mother's womb to prepare us for 70 to 120 years of life out here outside of our mother's womb. And this 70 to 120 years on earth is preparing us for eternity. It's preparing our soul for eternity. And we have to kind of look at it like if you've ever seen a rocket take off. When they sent the rocket to the moon, it has the first stage that's carrying a whole lot of fuel, and then it gets so high and that drops off. Then it goes to the next level with the last two parts, and then after that second stage falls off, then it's just this one little part at the top that goes all the way after it breaks out of Earth's gravitational pull, right? Well, that's what God is doing to take us into eternity. He's allowing us to experience him intimately here right now so that we can get to know what it is to be in his presence. But we're not ready to be in his presence the way we're going to be in his presence. But when we're in his presence, we are going to be ready because he's getting us ready now. Pastor Carver, what do you think about this?
I'm going to end with a prayer. I have a prayer for this. I think this is a timely subject, and I just want everybody to be encouraged and know that God cares about what we think and our relationship with him and our love walk and how we think about others. Father God, I just thank you today for you being God and how you love us and how you express your love through us on a daily basis. Help us, Lord. Help us to ask the right questions of how to live in a way that gives you glory in 24 hours. Thank you, Lord, today for your peace, your love, your strength, your mind, your heart. Thank you for the power of your word that we intentionally agree with. And the things that we don't understand, Father God, help us to be patient to study and meditate on your word. And in our relationship with you, open up the eyes of our understanding so that we can walk it out. And there in itself, we will do the same for others in our lives. Thank you for this opportunity as the word is going forth over the airways globally, that it will not only be a blessing, Father God, but it will be a fruitful manifestation in someone's life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Now, won't you play now?